The healthcare detective Frank Lally has written a book for Simon & Schuster about how to get affordable healthcare. Called Your Best Healthcare Now, it is available online, in-store, wherever fine books are sold. Mr. Lally is also the health correspondent for Parade and the former editor of Money and George magazines. And I hear he has gotten even busier. As a matter of fact, he is so busy that he doesn't know which way to turn around. Anyway, hi, Frank. Which way is up?
Hi.
How are you?
I'm trying to remember how to turn around is really what I'm doing.
Okay.
Every time I turn around, there's more things for me to do. But
that's not bad.
Listen, it's great. I mean, researching for you is actually one of the events that I really have the most fun with. I learn something all the time.
We call it detecting.
I do my detective work, and that's fun for me. And then I take pleasure in sharing what I learn with you and everybody else. So this week is not going to be any exception. We're going to talk about life expectancy. There were some news reports that caught my eye. So how about this wonderful fact? Our life expectancy in the United States actually increased by 1 month this year, okay? But that's the first increase in 4 years, okay? So it's welcome news. We're living longer. It's better than life expectancy going down, as it has been. But this is not great news. We are only talking about 1 month over 4 years. Now, historically, people in this country actually saw their life expectancy increase 2 months a year. Now we're talking about 1 month over 4 years. Also, our expectancy is far lower than other countries like ours, industrialized countries, rich countries. People in those other countries are living to be almost 81 years old, okay? And we're dying at 78. So you see the difference there. And they're spending half as much, okay? Those societies are spending half as much of their economy goes to health care than this country. About 8% of their gross domestic product. It's 16% of our economy here. So we're spending twice as much, and we're getting worse outcomes. Worse than that, our expectancy is even below that of countries that are smaller and poorer, okay? Cuba, Costa Rica, Portugal, I mean, Slovenia. I mean, Melania shouldn't have come here. She stayed in her country. She'd live longer. Bottom line, and we're saying this about the United States of America in 2020.
Yeah, why?
We live sicker and die younger than people all over the globe. That's a shame.
That's one of those that should not be. You know, I'm sorry. It's really, and given my hobby horse, excuse me, given the amount of money we pay for health care, you'd really think that if someone were to do a cost-benefit analysis, what the bleep?
Yeah, what the bleep is right. Yeah, you could actually run some political campaigns on what the bleep. So anyway, look, I'm going to put as positive a spin on this as I can, because what we're going to be talking about today is what the things you can do, each of us, to just live better and live longer. So let's start. Talk about hobby horses. Let's start with something that's actually very personal to me. Smoking. Okay. My father smoked 2 packs a day. When I was a kid, I'd often wake up to his hacking cough in the morning. And then you know what he'd do? He'd reach over and light up a cigarette before he got out of bed. Now, back then, they didn't know everything that we know about smoking and secondhand smoke, but they knew it was wrong. They knew it was bad and it was going to hurt him. I can't tell you how many times my mother would watch him light up a cigarette and say, another nail in your coffin. All right. How many times did I hear that? Well, turned out that was another nail in her coffin, because that secondhand smoke caught up to her. She had a weak heart and she died at 52. And that secondhand smoke was a cause. My father, real thick-headed guy, wonderful in many ways, but boy, stubborn. He had 2 heart attacks. The first one was a little heart attack, a warning, right? He ignored that. Second heart attack was massive, massive. He should have died at age 66 from that massive heart attack, which knocked him down to the ground in a county building right in front of a nurse's station. The nurses ran out. They actually saved his life. Now, he never quite got the hint. I got the hint. I've never smoked. But I'll tell you this. I've had doctors and when I was jogging a lot, when I was running a lot, trainers tell me that my lung capacity is diminished. They say, did you smoke when you were a kid? I never smoked, except I was in the same car, I was in the same house as my father. All that secondhand smoke actually diminished my lung capacity. So it's a dangerous stuff, not only to yourself when you smoke, but to others around you. So despite all we know now, Jill, I'm going to ask you a question. What percentage of people in this country do you think are still smoking?
About 70%, probably.
No. We're far better than that. We're down to 14%.
Oh, well, okay. That's...
People over 18. Now that's not a cigarette
does that,
year.
Does that people include vaping?
Yeah, that's people who vaping is included in that. So you're talking about 14%. It's certainly lower than 20% of the people in the country. But hey,
how many people is that?
You know, that's 34 million people. That's a lot of people. So lung cancer remains the most deadly cancer. Okay, people, too many people are smoking. Okay, so I'm going to nag our listeners, stop smoking. You know, somebody is smoking, go up to them and tell them to stop. And if you can't stop for yourself, stop for your mate, stop for your spouse, stop for your loved one, stop for your grandchildren. Don't smoke, okay? Stop. It's no good for you. You kill yourself and you're injuring the people around you.
Let me ask you a question.
Right.
Does that medication, Chantix or whatever, help? And the reason I'm asking is because as a former smoker many, many, many years ago, people would say, oh, you got to stop. And I was like, yeah, okay. But there were people, I know people who, have tried and not succeeded.
Yeah, Carol, my wife smoked, when we were married, she was still smoking, though I was a terrible nag about it. And, it took her 4, 5, 6, 7 times she tried to quit. And then finally it stuck. So, yes, there's gums you can chew and there's medicine you can take. Some of that stuff can help for a bit. It comes down to, kind of willpower. One of the things she was able to do was eliminate the cigarette she enjoyed most. Okay. So once she got past that cigarette that she enjoyed most at the end of the day to relax, when she stopped taking that, that eased her for not smoking whatsoever. Plus, believe me, I was nagging her. I was relentless. So good. I would say that's one of the good deeds I did in my life. Okay, Joe. So 14% of us are still smoking. That's $34 million people. But cancer itself is down 2%, and that's good news. That's a reminder that people are going out and they're getting their screenings. They're getting their screenings for cancer early, detecting it early. When you detect it early, you've got a great chance of controlling it. I know from personal experience, right? As listeners know, I've had this blood cancer now for 10 years, but it was diagnosed really early, and I have been ahead of the disease for the past 10 years. It's completely under control now, and I feel great. So get your screenings. Now, another one we can talk about, very common. This is another subject of the hobby horse of yours, weight. Okay, weight. And now I got another question for you. I'm going to give you a hint. We're an obese nation, but Jill, out of 10 people, how many of the 10 do you think are clinically obese?
4.
Perfect. That is perfect. 4 people in this country, 4 out of 10, 40% are obese. Guess what? Another 3 are overweight. So we're talking about 7 out of 10. That leaves 3 people that actually have their weight under control. So don't be one of them. At least know where you stand. So go to the Center for Disease Control, that's CDC, the CDC website. You'll find the body mass index calculator, tell you your body mass. It's very simple, BMI index. You enter your height, you enter your weight, up pops your BMI score, okay, plus your ideal weight. So you've got a goal. Now, if you need to lose a couple of pounds, right? I need to lose a couple of pounds. Set an attainable goal. Don't look at that thing and say, oh, man, I got to lose 20 pounds. I'll do that, in the next week like they do on television. No, don't do that. set a real goal, say 5 pounds, and give yourself 2 weeks or give yourself 3 weeks, and then don't do anything crazy. All you have to do is eat less, okay? Just don't have that second portion, put the cake away, and exercise more. Get out for 25 to 45 minutes just walking around at a good pace, and do that 5 times a week. If you do that and control the portions, you're going to lose weight, and you're going to be healthier, and you're going to live longer. All right, here's another one that's under our control, and that's, once we understand it, that's overdosing on painkillers. Now, we all know about the opioid epidemic, which I think is finally waning. But look, in large part, that epidemic just boiled down to this. There were too many doctors prescribing too many addictive painkillers to vulnerable people, people who were in pain and needed relief. But look, even though opioid overdoses are down by 4%, and that's good, right? We still have 67,000 people in this country dying each year of overdoses right now. So, and the part of the problem is this: if you're in chronic pain, you are a potential victim. And I know this personally because I've had 3 back surgeries in the last 10 years. And along the way, I've been prescribed a mountain of painkillers. I used to walk into my pain doctor, okay, and my pain doctor would give me 90 pills a month. You just hand them out. Now you get about, if you got a problem, you get maybe 10, okay, but I used to get 90. I also got fentanyl. That's a dangerous drug. Fentanyl overdoses alone are now killing 31,000 people in this country. About half of the overdoses I talked about, those painkiller overdoses, half of them are from fentanyl, because fentanyl is really powerful stuff. It nearly killed me.
Right. No, it's outrageous. And again, that is a hobby horse. We've got a couple minutes left. So, what else should we do?
What else should we do is talk about suicide. Let's talk about suicide. And we have 48,000 suicides in this country. 3,000 are teenagers. And when you look behind those statistics, too often you see a gun, right? There are too many people that are suffering from acute anxiety, depression. They can more easily just reach out and grab a gun than they can reach out and get help, or at least that's the way they feel about it. So, again, I implore you, if you have a gun at home — I have a gun at home — if you have a gun at home, fine. You go hunting, you go use your marksmanship, whatever it is, that's fine, and no problem with that. But keep that gun locked up. Keep it locked up and away from the kids. Mine is in the basement, okay? My grandkids don't even know where it is. It's hidden away. And the bullets are not in the gun, okay? So I can have a gun in my house. The gun is safe if you take precautions. And, you know, look, what have I talked about here? It's just common sense stuff, right? If you're smoking, stop smoking. You know somebody is, tell them to stop, okay? Your weight's out of control a little bit. Come on, it's not that hard to lose a couple of pounds. You know, you don't need 2 pieces of chocolate cake. One'll do.
Right.
Or half a piece. There are simple things you can do. And locking up your guns, if you've got them at home, which can cause great damage to especially young kids who are curious and whatnot. They don't realize what they're doing. Keep those guns locked up. Just take care of yourself. Live longer. Live better. It's not that hard.
Thank you, Frank, the healthcare detective and senior advisor to healthcare.com. Send your questions or concerns about finding affordable healthcare to healthcaredetective@robinhoodradio.com. Frank will try to address as many of your questions as he can on future broadcasts. Also, look for his book, Your Best Healthcare Now, available online, in store, and, as we always say, on my desk.